You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Post-game, Boston Celtics beats the New Orleans Pelicans 113-100. It's their sixth win in a row, and we're here to talk about it. We're the Raining Jays, John Corrales, Samuel Jamison Packard III, here watching the Boston Garden get dismantled for hockey and a bunch of season ticket holders getting to shoot around on the floor as the Bull Gang works around them. Celtics win their sixth game in a row, led by Marcus Morris, who had 31 points for the depleted Celtics. No Horford, no Kyrie, no Hayward.
No Yabu.
No Yabu, no Baines. Five guys down, and they came out and they handled their business. For me, looking at this, Marcus Morris, huge, huge, huge for this. Big first half when the Celtics were struggling. Then he came out in the third quarter. Drilled three straight threes to give the Celtics some separation. He was the key guy for the Celtics as they held off the Pelicans to me.
I think emotionally, the most important man on the court was the Time Lord. He, with all those guys out, about a rotation of 10 players, he played the most minutes he's ever played, 25 tonight, 7 points, 11 boards, 3 blocks, 2 of Anthony Davis, and he just injected all the energy into the building. And they actually, he held Anthony Davis to a very quiet 41 points tonight. And I'm kind of serious. It took Anthony Davis, although he did score 41, but it took him 34 shots. And if we're comparing the best defenders on Davis tonight, I think, the Time Lord clearly did the best job just affecting his shot. Eventually, Anthony Davis, you know, because he's very good at basketball player, learned how to score on the Time Lord, but he had to do some thinking, which is more than he normally does.
Yeah. Having to force Anthony Davis to do some thinking on how to score is really good. As Brad Stevens said post-game, when you're shooting and Robert Williams is around you, you feel it. And Anthony Davis felt it, and he felt it real hard
the
twice.
The whole TD Garden felt it. Anytime he did anything, just this place erupted.
Place blew up. So, post-game, the way we've been doing it, we've done a little bit recording at halftime, so let's get to our thoughts on the first half before we return with our second half thoughts and our tweets and junk drawer. Halftime, Celtics lead 59-53. Pleasantly surprised, Sam, by the effort by the hospital Celtics, I'd say.
Yeah, no, going into this game, you see Horford out, Hayward out, Kyrie out, which was a bit of a surprise. But the Celtics are putting up a fight behind the one, the only, the Time Lord. Playing big minutes in the first half, 13, which is way more than I think he was going to get. But the reason he was in there is because he was doing a damn good job slowing down Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, there. I tweeted it out, and it's true, at least at the time, that Anthony Davis had trouble scoring against him straight up. Now, he's since took him in the post and scored, but still there was that one thunderous block that he had. Time Lord kind of getting this building energized. You said it before. At the beginning of the first quarter, it was dead silent in here. It took a while for the energy to pick up, and the Time Lord really helped do that. Jason Tatum also helped do that. He's got 15 points at the half. Marcus Morris, 12 points at the half. I think Tatum has really been cooking, really been aggressive. Maybe it's because he thinks, you know, he knows he's the number one option. And I thought Marcus Morris, early on when the Celtics were struggling, was like a stabilizing force. They went to him, and he scored a bunch of points and kind of settled things down, which is what Marcus Morris was doing earlier in the year when the Celtics were struggling. So really nice game from him and a really nice game for the Celtics to kind of step up against the Pelicans when they're so undermanned.
Yeah, I think the key to the Celtics offense tonight is they've been attacking the rim. Every single player has been attacking the rim. Jason Tatum, we had that nice crossover on Anthony Davis. Jaylen Brown, who's actually had a pretty terrible first half, 2 of 10, just can't buy a bucket. But just sheer attacking has got him 8 points already and a couple trips to the free throw line. But it seems like Brad Wanamaker's getting in on the fun. Anytime Nikola Mirotic was on the court, they basically just went right at him. Mook drove by him twice. Sammy drove by him twice. The Celtics are only 2 of 14 from deep, but still managed to score 59 points and a half just because attacking the rim. On the flip side, the Pelicans have been able to pretty much eat on the inside as well with Davis and Randall. We talk about the Time Lord's defense, but he really has been the best option because Tice is not as good as Tice was against Chicago. He just doesn't have the size to kind of deal with those guys.
Yeah. The thing is, no one's strong enough to deal with Anthony Davis right now. Definitely the Shemi-Julius Randle battle has been fun because those two are just like the super collider, just slamming against each other. I'm waiting, like I said before, I'm waiting at some point for Shemi to, when Randall's backing him down, to like pull a chair on him. Because I think Randall is just trying to bull his way. You can bait him into one or two of those at least in the second half.
Thing about the inside is I think the Celtics have been sometimes doubling on the inside. It's led to some open shots for the Pelicans, who are 6 of 13 from deep, and it's one of the reasons the Pelicans remain in this game. If like just talking about the energy in the building, it feels like with all the excitement around the Time Lord and the Celtics, Tatum and Mook playing so well, they'd be up by more than 6. But Anthony Davis really took over for stretches there in the second quarter. And then Darius Miller's hit some big threes. Holiday hit some threes. Everyone's just kind of been getting some open threes for the Pelicans, and that's why they're still in the game.
Well, I think the other reason they're still in this game right now is the Celtics don't have all of their good players to hit shots. They generated a lot of good looks. They missed a lot of good looks. Jaylen Brown missed a lot. I think Jaylen Brown might be a touch out of control, maybe going back a little bit, regressing just a tiny bit as compared to the drives that he's had in the past couple of games. I'd like to see him just be in a little bit more control. But really what we've seen a lot of is the Celtics generating good looks, open shots, but it's Shemi Ojeleye rather than Kyrie Irving taking those shots. And it's Daniel Tice versus Al Horford taking those shots. So they're doing good things. They're playing really well. They're missing a lot of opportunities. What are they shooting so far? I mean, they're 51%. Shooting 51%, which is great. But I look at that, and I'm surprised by that percentage because I've seen them miss chances where during the 5-game win streak, those chances that they've generated would have been the shots that got them to 10, 12, 14-point leads. The misses, now it's a 6-point lead at halftime. So I think you're right in the Pelicans getting that down low, back to the basket type of stuff, and the Celtics doubling for some reason and those generating those threes, which is keeping them in the game. But if the Celtics had just hit the shots that they have been making over the past 5 games, we would be looking at 70 points on the board versus 59.
Well, it's harder to make shots when you have less talent is what I always say. But 51% is actually surprising. I think they're actually doing a good job of slashing, driving, and kicking. The one play that stood out to me was Jaylen had kind of a reckless drive, passed it to Smart, who actually caught it on the run and drew a lot of attention and got Time Lord his only buckets of the game for a monstrous dunk. But I think they're just doing a good job of just penetrating the South. I mean, the Pelicans aren't putting up much of a threat in terms of perimeter defense, but they're really doing a good job of getting to the inside. And you're right, they're generating the shots, but not from deep. And that's why they only have 59 points in the half.
I know, it's weird. I mean, it's a testament to how good the Celtics offense has been going and the fact that they're running good things. They're doing good things on the floor. And I can't complain. Like, I can nitpick, but I think that when you consider that they had a stretch where they had Rozier, Mook, Shemi, Jaylen, and Robert Williams on there, they started the second quarter with Tatum, Jaylen, Brad Wanamaker, Robert Williams, and Shemi Ojeleye. Those are lineups that you're really not going to see a whole lot of this season. So the fact that they're running those guys out there, that they still put up 59 points, that considering what they've given up for the Pelicans only have 53, there's really not much you can complain about at this point. You just got to hope in the second half that they hit some more of those shots. That I think hopefully in the they take Jalen and they say, okay, just dial it back. Take the speed just down. He's at a 10. Just take it to 9.5 and just be in a little bit more control in those drives, because what that's going to mean is he's going to finish and get fouls and get to the line versus some of the no calls that he's getting. It's just a small, small adjustment for Jaylen Brown. It's just a tiny bit more control. I think that if he does that in the second half, the Celtics could actually win this by double digits.
The one thing I worry about is Anthony Davis going supernova in the second half, because they really, as good as that Time Lord block was, they don't have anyone to who can stop him.
True.
if he really just takes over the game. He's already taken 17 field goals. He could go for 40 field goals. And I think that the Pelicans will need it at this point if they're going to want to win.
I like your analysis so far. It's hard to score when you have less talent, and watch out for Anthony Davis.
That's why you bring me in. That's why you pay me the big bucks, folks. Process over results.
All right. So that's it. That's the halftime report, I guess. We'll call it halftime report, whatever. We'll be back after this short timeout with the final observations after what we hope is a win. In the meantime, follow Locked On NBA Net on both Instagram and on Twitter. Instagram's going to give you snippets in the stories of different podcasts out there and longer clips in the feed. Locked On NBA Net on Twitter is going to be a curated feed of all the good stuff from all the Locked On podcast hosts. So go ahead, follow Locked On NBA Net on Instagram and on Twitter. So as I said earlier, the third quarter really started out with Marcus Morris coming out just on fire. Three straight threes. I mean, he was just drilling. The Celtics really didn't shoot well from three overall. I mean, their final number looked better than it really was. They shot 30.8% from three, 12 of 39.
That's way up from what it was the majority of the game.
It was really bad. And really, when you look at it, five of those 12 were from Marcus Morris. He was 5 of 8. So that means the rest of the team was 7 of 31. That's not good. But Morris coming in, and not only that, 6 of 7 from the line. He did a lot out there. It's very, very efficient. He's the guy that throughout, like I said in the first half, when the Celtics were struggling early in the season, Mook was the guy that steadied them. In this game, with everybody out, he's the guy that steadied them. In the first half when they were struggling, he kind of held things together. And in the second half, it was those threes that gave the Celtics that separation. And the Pelicans could never really get any closer than that stretch there. They never really threatened again.
Yeah, and Mook coming out and hitting those quick 9 points really set the tone. But Brad mentioned in his postgame, Mook's been a stabilizing force for two seasons now. And I thought it was interesting Brad pointed out that he's kind of a mismatch nightmare, because in the first quarter he was playing against some smaller guys in Nikola Mirotic and was able to post up on them and just work the post and then attack the rim. And then when they put some bigger guys on him, they really attacked with the pick and pop and just allowing either Tatum to drive or later in the game, Jaylen Brown to drive, and Morris was wide open for three. So his versatility and his ability to just basically do it all for the Celtics. I was actually surprised he ended up with 31 points, but that makes sense with just how well he was shooting. I thought he played a brilliant game in a game where they had literally their three best players not on the bench. They needed a scoring punch, and he delivered. I thought he was fantastic and played pretty decent defense against a very strong Julius Randle for most of the evening.
Yep. Another scoring punch that they got was from Jason Tatum, who was similarly efficient overall, 10 of 16. Not as good from 3, 1 of 5, but he had 21 points, 6 rebounds, and assists. Only a couple of turnovers, which was surprising. It felt like he had a couple of more. But an overall good game. It seems like Jason Tatum, when he feels like he's got the green light, I feel like it makes him more aggressive. He seemed more aggressive. He was even more demonstrative with the officials. I just feel like this is almost like a glimpse into the future, that when Tatum is the number one option eventually 4 or 5 years from now, that this is a lot of what we can expect from him.
Yeah, he definitely had a better game and a very efficient game. It's kind of weird with Tatum because he knocked down some tough mid-range jump shots, and so you feel a lot better about him when the shots go in. I mean, there's some of those shots, they're tough fadeaways. One play early in the first half where he passed up an open shot just to dribble out to the three-point line, take Anthony Davis off the dribble, and then hit a harder pull-up mid-range. But he was just really aggressive tonight, and going to the rim, he had a great crossover of Anthony Davis, an amazing spin move that he actually missed, but is able to get the putback. But he was good tonight, and as you mentioned, he was a pretty good facilitator. And I just want to, in addition to that, I thought scorers, Semi Ojeleye, in the third quarter, the Celtics came out to that 13-4 run powered by Mook, but then really the offense struggled, and they were able to maintain the lead from like 7 points from Semi, who was way more aggressive than I've seen Semi Ojeleye ever play basketball. It's like he's a new man, like he's discovered something about himself that he didn't know in the past, but he had a pull-up jumper in the lane. He attacked the rim against Anthony Davis.
Yep.
Like I thought Semi really did a great job of kind of extending the scoring, but I think the rest of the game, it kind of turned into garbage time, but it was really the redemption of Jaylen Brown was the story of the fourth quarter.
So the fourth quarter...
Let's talk about the end of the second half, because this is something we missed the first time around.
That's right.
The end of the second half, Jaylen had a turnover and then was really late getting into his set, and the Celtics had a terrible possession. And just going into the locker room, it seemed like every member of the Celtics was yelling at Jaylen Brown.
Yep. So that was very indicative of the half that Jaylen Brown had had. He's not shooting well. He made those mental mistakes. Everybody's pissed off at him. He comes out in the third quarter, gets some fouls.
No longer going to the rim, just doing some pull-up jumpers that you could tell as soon as he started shooting. He's like, that's going to be a miss.
And so we're up there sitting next to each other watching this game, and we're lamenting the fact that Jaylen Brown sometimes just doesn't feel like he's there. He doesn't feel like he's present. He starts to think. He starts to get in his own head. And I think that was especially clear when he drew his fifth foul, which was in the third quarter. Now, the Celtics are already down. We asked Brad Stevens about this after the game, and he says, normally I don't care about fouls, but that was very important because they were down to like 10 guys, and they needed him out on the floor. He draws that foul. He just slaps. I think it was at Julius Randle, who was driving. It was a stupid foul to get his fifth foul late in the third. He puts his hands to his head like he's pissed off at himself, and he goes to the bench. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's in his own head. He's toast. He's having a horrible game. We're going to be talking about bad Jaylen Brown. Then he checks in with about 8.5 to go in the fourth quarter, and he completely dominates and changes the entire tenor of the game and gives the Celtics some separation. As Brad Stevens said afterwards, I mean, he went nuts, and he all of a sudden, a game that seemed close was put out of reach by Jaylen Brown, who scored, what did he have, 11 in the fourth quarter? Just a monster fourth quarter in limited time. It's just interesting. I don't think Brad Stevens explained it very well either. He just didn't know.
It didn't make much sense because he looked shot. He looked like he had kind of the yips, and he re-enters the game with 5 fouls. He immediately has a pick and pop, nice pass to Mook, who knocks down a three. Then gets a steal as a nice pass to Jason Tatum for another point. So 2 assists, and then he scores a quick 8 points, including a ridiculous three with the shot clock expiring in the corner. And that kind of felt like the key where the shot clock was expiring, so he didn't have to think about it.
Yep.
And then once that went in, he just played with a new confidence and knocked down more shots. And it really does seem like it's a lot of it is kind of his mental approach. And he's talked about it before. Sometimes he gets in his head too much, and sometimes he does too much thinking. So maybe it's just him relaxing and just going out there and playing. And it's kind of weird because you felt like he was doing that in the first half, just he wasn't getting the results.
Yep.
But it was they needed him to play better just because – well, they didn't need him. He returned to the game when they were already up 12 points. But it's nice to see him kind of bounce back after such a – it really was a pretty putrid first three quarters.
Well, I like the way you put that because it just makes you wonder, again, if Jaylen Brown's not going early – and we've said – how many times have we said on this podcast? When Jaylen's in the game, you got to run some sets to get him going to the basket early, let him see the ball go through and get him that early success. – If he's not having that early success, I feel like he gets down on himself, and I feel like he has, then he gets into his own head, and it just all starts to cascade from there. So it was good. I really don't know what sparked that turnaround because he was having a bad Jaylen game, and all of a sudden he came in the fourth quarter, and maybe he had to refocus. maybe because he had the fifth foul and he knew he couldn't get that sixth foul, that he had to refocus and just play basketball and not be in his own head. Whatever it was, man, that end of the fourth quarter, he was the best player on the floor for the last stretch, which is great to see because he was absolutely the worst player on the floor at the end of the first half. So nice stretch from Jaylen Brown. Celtics again win 113-100. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back here with the tweets and the junk drawer, and then we're going to let the Bull Gang finish their job. So we ask you to hit us up with the Rain and Jays hashtag on your tweets. So let's start from the beginning at Prof Chop, who hit us with a couple. Love the skeleton Celtics, then in parentheses, Skeltics?
This is the hospital Celtics. This is a shout out to yesteryear of just people hurt left and right. And that's really when they were playing their best, when half the team was in a coma.
Yep. Jaylen Brown making his living at the rim, which he was early on, but they weren't falling.
He wasn't making his living. He was more just hanging out, but he was not.
He was getting there.
He was getting there, but he's not succeeding there.
That's the way basketball should be. Bench is so deep. Brad Wanamaker, but it's Brad Wanamaker and Time Lord getting early productive minutes. We didn't talk about Brad Wanamaker, who was solid in this game. He didn't get a ton of time. But his overall numbers here.
He got 18 minutes. It's a lot
18 and a half minutes.
Kind of down the stretch. But
solid. Plus eight. He had four assists, three rebounds, two turnovers, one steal, 4 points.
He had a cool save at one point. I remember that. That's in my notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have expected, with how much Brad Stevens loves guards and playing three guard lineups, we would have seen more of Wanamaker kind of playing in that Shane Larkin role last year. But now that I just say that, I remembered Shane Larkin only played because Kyrie was hurt. And so Wanamaker's role makes perfect sense. But it's nice to see him do well.
I love when you talk yourself into something completely opposite of the point you started to make.
You got to speak and then realize what you're saying and then do some thinking.
At Robert Denton, I want Marcus Smart to retire as Celtic. I mean, that guy, of course. I mean, he's just perfect. That crazy move in the first half, where the ball came loose and he was dribbling and he did like some kind of crazy behind the back move,
double behind the backs, and it's kind of a mess
and
up.
That little floater on the right elbow there. Yeah,
Marcus Smart is best in chaos and nonsense, and that's why he's my favorite.
Let's see, a bunch of Time Lord tweets.
Oh, I'm surprised
that really bends the difference between Rain and Jays and Rain and Junk. But we're here. At Maddie McP25, do we need AD? Do we even need AD now that we have Time Lord?
Well, here's the thing. Time Lord was so good against the Pelicans that now the Pelicans are going to insist that he's included in any AD deal. It's kind of a double-edged sword there.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm Dell Demps, I'm like, how could you not insist on Robert Williams being in that trade?
Right, because if you trade Anthony Davis to the Celtics, you're going to need the one guy who can defend him.
Anthony Davis.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You've got your Anthony Davis stopper in the guy you're getting in the trade. Boy, people are going to be so pissed at us at it, just even hinting that Robert Williams would be traded for Anthony Davis. Let's see here. At JR_FB, Jesse Frazier. Real talk, Time Lord can ball a bit too. Never mind taking out the fly swatter on AD. Look how many shots he's altering when he's out there. And his activity on the boards and even his passing looks pretty crisp for a rookie big. Ironically, I love his energy.
Ironically? I don't know why that's ironic.
I don't know. But
I do. I also love his energy.
I liked his passing. Yeah, he had a nice feed. I forget who it was underneath. But from the top of the key, it was just very casual. First of all, Robert Williams does everything casual. Like, I don't think he ever changes his face. He's almost like Kawhi-like in the stoicism out there. Maybe we call him like Chief Junior or something. He just doesn't change his
he swears casually with the media. That's another good thing about
him. Yeah, man. He's just cool. He really is just cool. But he had a couple of nice passes. I think that maybe his passing is something that we need to kind of just keep an eye on. Eventually, he could be a pretty decent passer out of the post. I don't know. I'm just reacting to what I saw tonight. He made a couple of nice passes. So.
My one critique. One very small critique of the Time Lord.
How dare you?
when he catches the ball at like the elbow, he has never once thought to take a dribble and go to the hoop. Like his immediate reaction is get me away from the ball immediately. So that does like lead to some good passing, but if he could even be like a Giannis, I imagine he could take two steps and be at the rim from sure. the elbow. So maybe it's a wrinkle I think he can add. But right now it just feels like on offense he's either a rolling to the rim or he's not doing much else.
To be fair, I don't think he's being asked to do that. I think he's being told to do very specific things.
I'm asking him to do more. I expect more out of the time.
Just take him aside. Be like, I know Brad's telling you to do this, but really, take a dribble. Duh.
What does Brad know about basketball?
Yeah, come on.
I'm Jam Packer, damn it.
At Letty Biased, what time did the game tip? I think we all know Time Lord does not operate in the realm of coincidences.
What?
7:37?
I don't know.
The duration was 2 hours and 3 minutes.
I'm not getting the reference.
Time Lord, time stuff. It's weird.
Sure. Rifesy, the first half of Time Lord couldn't have gone much better. Active on defense in the glass, no fouls while defending Davis. It looked great for a young
That's
guy.
That's the crazy thing.
The
no
foul
fouls.
Thing.
He was defending Anthony Davis and didn't pick up his first foul till what?
It's like the fourth quarter, right?
9 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
That's insane. Especially, we're talking about it up there. He jumps at everything.
The guy loves jumping.
He just jumps. I made the joke about him being that inflatable wavy arm guy. Like his arms are just kind of all over the place. He's just jumping every chance he can get. That's a recipe to foul like three fouls in 5 minutes. But to get his first foul in the fourth, that's amazing to me. And without Zerb, when was the last time we had a player physically and athletically similar to Williams, and who was it? We haven't.
Len Bias?
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, a guy that size,
The only thing I can imagine athletic is, like, Gerald Green is jumping ability, like, when he was a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, like...
No one who's 7 feet tall.
Right. I mean, Williams is, like, what, 6'9", 6'10", like... Williams is a freak athlete. Like, Jaylen Brown's a good athlete. Williams is, like, a freak athlete. Like, he's just... I mean, out of control. So, the last freak athlete that we had, I think, was Gerald Green. But a guy that size, I can't think of one. I can't. So, he's a one of a kind. And that's the end of the Rain and Jays hashtag.
Let's
your turn, Rain and Junk.
On to the Rain and Junk hashtag. More praise for the Time Lord. I can't. Frisco Sis guy said, I'm going with Father Time because he just made AD his son. Shout out to Tony Fox. Tim Frazier looks like the Smacks Frog. That's one of my favorite observations. Scal apparently has said the Time Lord numerous times, which is praise to the NBC Sports Boston for just going fully in. Full embrace of the weird Celtics Twitter, especially the Time Lord.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask a question on the podcast that I asked upstairs when we were watching the game. Is there a point, are you afraid that Time Lord's going to jump the shark? Because usually weird Celtics Twitter stuff takes a while to even catch on. And
when the establishment buys into things, it's hard for it to remain cool.
Yeah. And it still is cool. And I don't know. Right now, I'm not worried at all. But NBC Sports Boston, to their credit, they're all in. They're referencing it in the game. Like you said, they had that cool graphic on Twitter. Like, they're in on Time Lord. I'm just afraid that somebody like, I don't know, Felger is going to start using Time Lord.
That's what I was thinking
and if
too.
If that starts happening, then Time Lord's done. Maybe that Father Time that I've seen kicked around that was in that tweet, I've seen it before too. He just had his daughter. You know, he joked around before the game that she looks just like me and I'm not sure that's a good thing. Like that is kind of a funny moment there. If Time Lord, I'll just make the motion that we don't have to vote on now. If Time Lord jumps the shark, I think we should have Father Time in the chamber just kind of to keep it there. And like in our pockets, just throwing it out there.
It's the type of thing where you don't know when it's going to jump the shark, but as soon as the wrong person uses Time Lord,
yeah,
you're going to know. You're going to feel it. It's going to feel weird and awkward. Yeah. So just warn against it. But the thing is, if he continues just blocking the shit out of one of the best players in the game,
yeah,
I don't think it's – he just extends the time of how long he has. This is from at Robert Denton. Does Tatum keep his mouth guard in while on the bench? He was celebrating a Time Lord dunk with the mouth guard. Troubling if he does so, but he plays like a stud. I don't know.
Does he?
Sure. I mean, maybe he needs to protect his teeth. Time Lord exclusively tries to block it, and I love it. Yes, Time Lord loves jumping, and just more Time Lord stuff. I'm going to get into my own personal junk drawer. Before the game, I was watching Anthony Davis warm up to try and just, you know, see if he was going to give it a go. And Danny Ainge walks in the court, walks right past Anthony Davis, and just gives Tim Frazier a big hug. And so, clearly, I took it as a sign that the Celtics are not trading for Anthony Davis. Maybe he's playing it cool, playing
maybe
hard
swerve.
To get.
Maybe yeah. a swerve. By the way, as you do the junk drawer, I just went onto the Instagram Live. So shout out to all our Instagram Live. I just kind of, you get the junk drawer. It didn't start it earlier, so you get the junk, which is what Instagram Live, I think, is made for.
Steph Curry came out today and said he doesn't believe in the moon landing, and our main man, Max Lederman of NBC Sports Celtics, big space guy. We did not know this about Max Lederman.
No.
But he was upset, and he was mad online, and I was here for it. He got in a lot of fight with some Steph stans. And I'm not a huge space guy, but I've seen the movie Apollo 13 about a half dozen times, maybe two dozen. But I just loved Max Lederman just really defending the moon landing. That was good stuff.
You know what? I feel like there's a lot of people who are giving Curry a pass on the I don't believe in the moon landing stuff. Like, if Kyrie's going to get shit for flat Earth, then Steph should get the same amount of shit for fake moon landing. It's the same kind of conspiracy. It's the same thing.
It's nonsense. It's pure nonsense, and I expect better from Steph. Great segment tonight on the Jumbotron. It was TV shows I refuse to watch. Marcus Smart said The Office, and he got booed. Jason Tatum said The Big Bang Theory, which was a nice moment. And then Marcus Morris said Game of Thrones and got thoroughly booed.
Very thunderous boos.
It was fantastic. Time Lord loves jumping. There was an ATO. Brad drew up an ATO just to get Robert Williams a alley-oop attempt. Yeah. Of course, it did not work. But they drew the foul, but it was still Brad knows how to harness the power.
Yeah.
And so
he
I thought
knew what the people wanted, and he gave it to him.
I thought that was cool. Moving on. Time Lord loves jumping.
We just keep saying Time Lord loves jumping.
Because the guy loves jumping.
He really loves to jump.
I'm not sure.
He just... jumping at everything.
I'm not sure, like, Time Lord loves jumping almost as much as Celtics fans love the Time Lord. It's insane, but that guy's jumping constantly. Downtown Jaylen Brown made a resurgence, but Eddie Palladino, whenever he makes a three, says JB for three.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, downtown Jaylen Brown's right there. JB for three is the same as IT for three or Kyrie for three. Just use a different cadence. Downtown Jaylen Brown works.
I think it's an economy of syllables. For the PA announcer, I think
just try some new stuff, man. We've heard it.
I don't know. I don't know if Eddie Palladino is going to be the ad-libbing type.
He made the switch from Marcus Morris to Marcus Morris Senior. I think he can
at Marcus Morris Senior's
Jaylen.
Request.
Oh, here's another. Here's a junk drawer I forgot to write down. Every halftime, I've seen tweets. Marcus Morris just goes back and hangs out with the son.
Yeah.
Like, they have their little talk.
Isn't that awesome?
And then he just goes and, like, throws his Marcus Morris Jr. around. That's fantastic.
I wonder if fatherhood is what has kind of changed Marcus Morris a little bit.
It changed the whole Celtics. I mean, every single Celtics player other than Jaylen Brown, I think, has a child.
Maybe
and Jaylen Brown's the one who's struggling.
Maybe
Daddy's
Brown
always
needs...
happy. Deuce. Al Horford's one of the best fathers. I mean, it's pretty much
it's true.
Championships start at conception.
It's a very fertile basketball team. Maybe, I guess the answer is that Jaylen Brown needs to have a kid. And that's what's the secret to them kind of...
To success. Before the season, we said this was the erotic city Celtics. And nothing's more erotic than having a child.
I like where we're going with this. This is good.
I'm done.
This is quality analysis. Right here from
the Locked On NBA account's going to retweet this one.
Oh, God. Is that it? Are we done?
The junk drawer's empty.
Are we done? Let's see. Let me just rifle through some of these Instagrams here. mildly arousing village. That's funny. when Time Lord messes up, he should just rewind. I get like that slow Mobius from Rick and Morty.
Maybe
that type of thing. Mook shit talking Game of Thrones is the highlight of my life. let's see. What you think about Brown's performance tonight? We already talked about that on the podcast. Big tease. You're going to have to listen to the podcast to get that answer. All right. So let's see. That's about all the Instagram live comments. So we're going to wrap it up. I can hear all the stuff banging around in the background. So Celtics win 113-100, beat the Pelicans 6 in a row. Next up, Mook goes to Washington to face his brother. And
I would watch a movie called Mook Goes to Washington if it was just a remake of that old Jimmy whatever. You know that movie I'm talking
Jimmy
about.
Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart played by Mook Morris.
Mr. Morris goes to Washington.
Mr. Morris Sr. goes to Washington.
I just picture Marcus Morris like kicking the door in to the chambers of Congress, just walking into the House of Representatives, just making people his bitch.
Yeah, that's a good movie right there.
I would really watch that movie. All right, so Celtics, Wizards on Wednesday, they go for 7 in a row. We'll see who's healthy or if it even matters, because for some reason the hospital Celtics just keep on chugging along. Just one note on Al Horford before we wrap up. He did say he was hoping to be back in a few games, in a few days. Didn't seem to make it a big deal. But that knee tendonitis, patellar tendonitis, is an issue. Didn't really talk about that in the podcast. I guess we can save that for tomorrow's podcast and see how concerned we are with that. But we're all celebrating the win. That's it. If you are a first-time listener, please subscribe to the podcast. Search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts. If you are a subscriber, give us that 5-star review, that good written rating. And share the podcast. Spread the word. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.